thank you in the Saviour's precious name, and we pray that God will bless that he could have called 10,000 angels, but thank God he died alone for you and for me. I want you to open your Bibles this evening in John's Gospel in chapter 16. 16th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. I want you to follow us, the reading of God's infallible word this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. Verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Let's stand to our feet for a wee word of prayer, and we'll ask God's blessing upon the preaching of God's precious word this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that this is thine infallible truth, and we pray that we might know the enlightenment and the enablement of the Spirit of truth and of power. We pray that the words of our lips, the very meditation of our hearts, might be acceptable in thy sight this evening. We pray that all the honor and all the glory will go to him, the man at thy right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, our lovely Lord and wonderful Savior and friend. And so to this end, give me the power to bring thy word in the closing moments of this meeting. Bring all the honor and the glory to Jesus Christ alone. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. I want us this evening to think of the work of the Holy Spirit in this day. You know, when many people speak about the Holy Ghost and the third person of the adorable Trinity, they speak, of course, about the gifts of the Spirit, and they fail to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here the work of the Spirit of God in this day and generation. You notice the Lord Jesus said here, John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." I want you to notice the three things that the Holy Spirit of God is going to teach us and going to reprove the world of in this day. It says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I want you to see tonight that the worldling or the unconverted man left to himself is very stunningly ignorant about spiritual things. You see, friends, when people speak about the Holy Spirit, it's sad to say, but alas today, there's not much preaching about what the Holy Spirit has come to do. You know, they talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They don't tell us that the work of the Spirit of God, whenever the Holy Ghost was to come, he was to reprove the world. He was to reprove the world of sin, but there's not much preaching about sin anymore. He was to reprove the world about righteousness. And sad to say, there is not much preaching upon the righteousness of Christ anymore, because man goeth about to establish his own righteousness. The Holy Spirit of God is to reprove the world of judgment.
And sad also to say, that's another message that's left out of many preachers' pulpits today. They don't want to annoy the crowd, or don't want to annoy the people, or upset the hearers when it comes to the judgment of God. I want us to yield tonight to the work of the Spirit of God. I want us to ask, indeed, to implore the Spirit of God just to do His work in this meeting tonight, to do the very thing that He came to do. And that is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I want you to notice, first of all, the first work of the first reproof of God through the Holy Spirit, the blessed third person of the adorable Trinity. It is to reprove the world of sin. My friend, there is an amazing ignorance about the reality of sin and what sin really is. Of course, the Catechism tells us sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Maybe you say to me tonight, but I know that I'm a sinner. You see, there are many people who very glibly just say that. Oh yes, I'm a sinner. And friend, if they don't seem to appreciate and they don't realize because of their own intelligence, they cannot see it. The very depths of what sin is and what sin is doing. What sin is doing to their hearts and their lives, and what sin will do whenever that day comes when they stand before God Himself. You see, man is a sinner for three reasons. First of all, and primarily, man is a sinner because of what he is. You see, some people say the first reason has got to be he's a sinner because of what he does. I want to tell you, my friend, you and I are sinners primarily, first of all, because of what we are. You see, the Word of God says that we are sinners, that we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. The Word of God says that in our sin, that we are children of wrath even as others. You know, when you look into the face of that lovely little child, friend, and you say they're so cute, and so they are. And yet there's a verse in God's Word, and I want you to listen carefully to it. In Psalm 58 in the verse 3, this is what the Holy Ghost says. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. Now that's a very solemn thing. You see, this is what the Word of God says of who we are. We are estranged from our mother's womb. The Bible says, and the very moment that we are born, friend, the Bible tells us that we indeed go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this, my friend. You never have to teach a child to tell a lie. You never have to teach a child to steal. You never teach a child to do something that is wrong, friend, to be disobedient. You see a little child, and you watch the little child, and perhaps he's got a crowd of toys all around him. Some other little child walks over, just as lifts one of the toys, and he just smashes it out of his hand. He says, "That's mine." Now you say that's a very cute thing. Let me tell you, my friend, that's a sign of sin. I'll tell you why. Because that's selfishness. That's selfishness. And selfishness is bound in the heart of every one of us. You see, you don't have to teach disobedience. Why? Because the Bible says we are estranged from our mother's womb. We are born with the nature of sin. You see, some people have got this idea that a person's a sinner because they lie, or because they cheat, or because they steal, or because they kill. Let me tell you, my friend, that's not the way of it at all. He does all of those things because he's a sinner. Not he's a sinner because he does those things. Because there's something very basic in our hearts. It is a heart problem of every one of us. And the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is no difference. And I don't care who you are tonight. The Word of God tells me that the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked. And then the Word of God goes on to say, who can know it? Who can imagine the very depths? We look around the world tonight and we see the manifestations of man's sin. We see how cruel man is. We see how evil man is. And people say to me, how could a person do that to somebody else? How could a person act that way to somebody else? I'll tell you, my friend, very simply, because out of the heart proceeds all these things. In the book of Mark's Gospel, in the chapter number 7, it says these words: "From within, out of the heart of man, proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man, out of the heart. You see, friend, the basic problem of man is this, that he is a sinner in the depths of his heart. That's why the Reformation is no good. You can make changes in your life, but my friend, of yourself, you can't make changes in your heart. It's a much deeper problem. Oh, that man would see the depravity of his sinfulness tonight. You are a sinner because of what you are. Secondly, you are a sinner because of what you do. You have sinned. Yes, we lie and we curse and we do dishonest things and we steal and people kill. That's all the manifestations of the heart problem in the person's life. That's a manifestation of a sin. That's what he does. But friend, you're a sinner because of who you really are deep within. And because of who you are, you do what you do. But the Word of God goes on to something else. If you look at in the book of John's Gospel 16 again, this is what it says there in that passage of God's Word, verse 9, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." You are a sinner not only because of what you are and what you do, but you're a sinner because of what you have not done. Notice what it says here. "Of sin, the Holy Ghost will reprove, because they believe not on me." You see, my friend, only the Holy Ghost can teach you such a truth. How deep is man's sin? How awful is man's sin? He will not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only one who can save him. I asked you tonight, have you received Christ? Have you received him as your personal Savior? Have you believed? Have you put all your weight and trust upon him and what he did at Calvary alone? Men and women are trying to get to heaven by their own works. I want to tell you, my friend, you'll never work your way to heaven. I cannot work my soul to save, but that my Lord has done, but I will work it as any slave for the sake of God's dear Son. My friend, listen, you need God's salvation. You need to rest your soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the catalog of hell. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving." My friend, let me tell you, the mother sin from which other sins stem from is the sin of unbelief. Men stubbornly and defiantly will not come to Jesus Christ. They will not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not that they don't know. The Spirit of God has come along and the Spirit of God has reproved them. Spirit of God has revealed to them their lostness, their hellishness, their hopelessness. And yet man deliberately, even though he realizes this, although, my friend, he realizes that he needs Jesus as the only Savior from his sin, and yet he keeps his sin, he still loves his sin. He holds that viper to his breast. And sad to say, many die in their sin and go to hell. And they're lost for all eternity. What an awful tragedy, friend. Oh, that the Spirit of God would convict you tonight and show you just exactly how awful your sin is. Let me tell you, my friend, your sin is so awful. Your sin is so diabolical. Your sin is so evil. It'll take you to the lowest caverns of hell itself if you're not willing to have done with it, if you're not willing to receive Christ as your Savior, if you're not willing to run to Jesus for refuge and find in him his pardon and his forgiveness. Because outside of Jesus Christ, there is none other. There is none other Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to reprove of sin. Secondly, the Holy Spirit comes to reprove of righteousness. And so the Spirit of God teaches us about righteousness. You see, the world thinks that man is a sinner because of what he does bad. And then the world thinks that man is righteous because of what he does good. And yet, my friend, once again, man is blinded in his sin. You are not made righteous by what good you do, because the Word of God says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And left to yourself, friend, let me tell you, even the best thing that you can do, and there are people tonight, listen, and they're working their fingers to the bone, and they're trying to get to heaven, and they're trying to work their way to heaven, and yet, my friend, when they're finished, they're lost. They're as lost as they started at the very beginning. Why? Because the Word of God says all your righteousnesses, that's in other words, that's the best that you could do, are as filthy rags. You're saved, in God's sake. And yet that's true, you know. People think that someday they're going to go before God and they're going to stand before God and they're going to say, God, you know, I did this and I did that. God, I worked this and I worked that. And God said, listen, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And friend, let me tell you this. Isn't it an awful thing that someone would dare, that some man or woman, young person would dare to say to God, God, ye let me into heaven, and ye present to him you, your righteousness, your own works. And God says they're filthy rags. Friend, let me tell you, my friend, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 that man goeth about to establish his own righteousness. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Christ. You see, you might be sincere tonight. And I have no doubt whatsoever there are many people that have gone to church today and they're very sincere about religion. But friend, sincerity is not the way to heaven. You can be sincere. You know, water is H2O. Sulfuric acid is H2SO4. You look at the both of them, my friend, and they're both colorless. And they're both odorless. But I'll tell you this. You drink one, and it'll do you good. You drink the other, and it'll kill you. But you say, but listen, but I'm sincere. When I lifted that glass of sulfuric acid, I believed that it was all right, that it was for my good. Surely that's enough. Friend, you know that that's a foolish action. You wouldn't dare to suggest that you can drink poison. And that somehow, because you're sincerely, you thought it was something else. That somehow that you're going to get by. That somehow you're going to make it in the end of the journey. Sincerity is not enough. And so the Holy Spirit of God teaches about righteousness. A righteousness that is not your own. You see, my friend, by nature we are what we are. But praise God, the death of Christ changes that. Because when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, we started as a child of wrath, but praise God, we become a child of God. And we become a partaker of the new nature. And become a member of the family of God. A sinner is a sinner by what we have done. But praise God, when we come to Christ, we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are pardoned, we are washed in His precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have no merit of our own. We will never get to heaven through merit. We will never get to heaven through our own works. But praise God, one day Jesus stepped out of the glory, and one day he went to the cross of Calvary. And he bare my sin upon his own body in the tree. And praise God, through the cross and through the blood and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know what God does? The night I trusted Christ as my Savior, He imputed or reckoned to me the absolute perfect righteousness of Christ. And I stand tonight, that's why the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, just as if I never had sinned. You say to me, preacher, how could a lost sinner stand before God just as if he never had sinned? I'll tell you why. Because by faith he receives Jesus Christ, and he's robed in the righteousness of Christ. And let me tell you, that's the sinless, spotless one. Upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die, another's death, another's life. I rest my whole eternity. Do you know what happened? Thank God that night I came by faith as a sinner, as a child to Jesus, and I asked him to save me. And praise God, God himself put the righteousness of Christ to my account. And that's why I'll never perish. That's why I'll never be lost, friend. No demon in hell can take me to hell. The devil himself could never make me perish because Christ has died. Because on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, God's Son, finished the work for the redemption of my soul. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, but praise God, imputed righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came, and when the Holy Spirit worked in my heart, what did he show me, friend? He showed me I was lost as could be. With my back to God and my face to the world. On my way to hell. But you know, he revealed to me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of the glory. Humbled himself and became a little babe born at Bethlehem. And lived a perfect life and one day went to the cross and died an atoning death. And he bare my sins upon his own body on the tree. And all the punishment and all the agony and all the pain, listen, and all the hell that was due for my sin, Jesus bore it for me. The Word of God says, he drank damnation dry for me. It was for me alone. The Savior left the glory throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. Thank God he came. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Friend, let me ask you a question. Have you seen your sin as God sees it? Have you seen your lostness as God knows you are? You see, the human mind doesn't see that. The human heart cannot comprehend that. That's why the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, lastly, and of judgment to come. Notice what it says in verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who's the prince of this world? That's the devil. Now friend, notice the tense there. You see, the devil's not waiting to be judged. It says the prince of this world is judged. He's not going to be judged. He's judged already. And friend, listen, if you are following the devil's path, if you're still in your sin tonight, I want to say this honestly before you. You're following a loser. You're following a loser. Because the devil has already lost the battle. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our guilty room instead, and there at Calvary's cross, thank God, Satan's power was broken. The devil's, the backbone of the devil's kingdom was destroyed. Glory to God. He was chained at Calvary. He stripped, he subdued of all his power. And Jesus has defeated Satan. Yes, it says, the prince of this world is judged. When I think of Calvary, the devil's moment of seeming victory, let me tell you, was his greatest defeat. And as far as our Savior, as far as the world was concerned, Calvary seemed to be the greatest moment of Christ's defeat. But praise God, it was the greatest victory. And sin can't win. And thank God the devil's power is broken. That's why Jesus Christ can say to you tonight, sin shall not have dominion over you. You, my friend, don't need to be any longer held in the power and the grip of sin. You no longer need to be chained by your sin. You no longer need to be held in the prison house of your sin. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He can break every fetter. He can set you free. And so the world, the blessed Spirit of God comes to reprove of judgment. Let me tell you, there is a day of judgment. There is a day that man will stand before God. Listen, you see the greatest Bible denier, friend, let me tell you, he'll not escape the judgment. You see the greatest curser and blasphemer of my lovely Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, one day he's going to see Jesus upon the throne. And the Word of God says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice the order of the work of the Spirit. He shall reprove of sin. He shall reprove of righteousness. And he shall reprove of judgment. The only thing, my friend, will save you from the judgment of God is the righteousness of Christ. The only thing will save you from hell, friend, is the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And I pray earnestly tonight, O blessed Spirit of God, do thy work. And reveal to men and women in this service tonight, reveal to them that it's only Jesus Christ. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can make the difference in their life. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can break the power of sin. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ can change the heart. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can set the prisoner free. O Spirit of God, reprove man of his sin. Don't let him go on another night. And another week in their sin. Don't let them go on facing the judgment of God, going about haughty, proud, going about to establish their own righteousness, and yet they're on their way to hell, lost and undone. O Spirit of God, reveal to them their need of Jesus. Friend, Christ is the answer. And it's only the Holy Spirit can teach that. This preacher can't convince you of that. I would to God I could, but then it's not my work. You see, God calls me to preach the word, and that I must do. But friend, I must take my hand of it. Because there's no glory will God give to any other. Only to his Son. And tonight I've got to take my hand of it and I say, Lord, I've sought to present your Son, Jesus Christ, to lost humanity. Blessed Spirit of God, convince them. Blessed Spirit of God,
convict them. Blessed Spirit of God, convert them and turn them to Jesus. Let me tell you, if you were a convert of William McCrae, then, friend, all you would have would be a sham profession. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, then you'll have God's salvation, saved and sealed for all eternity. Sweet Spirit of God, blessed third person of the adorable Trinity, reveal Christ to me. Reveal Jesus, God's lovely only begotten Son, the substitute for sinners. Reveal him unto the lost soul of man. And bless his Spirit. Bring them to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee tonight that the work is thine. I thank thee, O God, that the word is thine, for thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thank you for the power of that word. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt take of thy word and write it with power upon the heart of the lost. Bring the sinner to Jesus. Turn them to the Savior tonight, that their souls might be saved. As their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, God's people are earnestly praying. Wonders are someone tonight and you're not saved. You say, preacher, I'm not right with God, but I know I need to be. I realized that sin was in my heart, but I didn't realize how deep it was until the Spirit of God has shown me it. I realized that Christ alone is the only answer. What Jesus did for me on the cross is my only hope. And I come as a sinner to Jesus. You say, preacher, how can I come? Friend, I'll tell you. You can only come as you are. Lost, helpless sinner to the wonderful, powerful Savior. You come by faith. And you rest your soul upon that finished work of His cross. And you claim the covering of the precious blood from all of your sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You can be gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace and power of God. Will you come to Him? Will you let the Spirit of God bring you to Jesus tonight? Will you throw down your arms of rebellion? You've been fighting. You've been struggling, you've been battling, friend. Listen, this is the issue of eternity I'm talking about. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and a book was opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But praise God, those who are saved, they'll be in heaven. You not come with us, friend. Come by faith to Jesus tonight and praise God He's the way to heaven. Start for heaven and home. Just as I am, as our heads are bowed, let's sing a little verse. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl tonight and you say, preacher, I need Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I need God's pardon. I'm a sinner. I need God's pardon in my soul. I need God's peace in my heart. I need His abiding presence. Oh, can I come? Praise God, you can. Come and welcome to Jesus, just as I am. And if there's a backslider, why didn't you get back to the Father, friend? Why didn't you get back to the place of fellowship? Why not make it tonight, prodigal in God's name, come home? You say there's problems. Let me tell you, friend, he can deal with your problems. You say there's situations. Friend, let me tell you, when he dealt with your sin at Calvary, praise God, he can deal with all your situations in time. Why not come to him? Come back to him. For he loves you still, just as I am. Just as. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. If there's someone you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. I wonder, would you just raise that hand above your head, friend, indicate that desire. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to return to the Lord that I've walked away from. Would you just slip that hand above your head tonight, friend? Come on in God's name. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one tonight? One final verse, just as I am and waiting not. Just as I am and waiting not. And the final invitation, friend. Is there someone tonight, wait no longer to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot? Thank God there's power in the blood of Christ to deal with your sin. Is there one in the closing second of the meeting? O Lamb of God, I come. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon every heart in this house. As we go for a time of fellowship around a cup of tea, O Father, may we not push aside the challenge of thy word, but O God, give deciding grace for the sinner to come and welcome to Jesus. Bless the food to our bodies, our fellowship together, for Jesus' sake. Amen.